This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with the producer of a film that's inspiring cat lovers everywhere. I will tell you all about him and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a former pet parent, a cat advocate. He's a writer and published author. He's a tea drinker, a bowler, a needle crafter, a playwright, and an actor. He's also a film producer. He's originally from New York City and currently lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He is the creator of the animated film Chris the Cat, which is making its rounds through international film circuits right now. His name is Ross Hewitt. Welcome, Ross. It's so great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I am so excited. You are the first film producer that I've had on the show.
Well, I'm honored.
I'm excited because I know that we all get to enjoy films, but none of us think about what happened before it ended up on our screens, right?
Yes, and a lot of work goes into it, let me tell you.
I can only imagine, and I do want to figure out what it is that I'm missing when I'm going to be watching Chris the Cat. But before I get into all that, I want to introduce our drinking game today. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game, anytime you hear this word.
The secret word is Chris.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying. It could be alcoholic, non-alcoholic, whatever it is, just play along. But if you are having an alcoholic beverage, make sure you're over 21 in the U.S. to partake. Never drink and drive and always drink responsibly. So what are you having today, Ross?
I'm having Barefoot Moscato. I tend to go for the sweet. So here we are.
Very nice. I love it. I'm a fellow wine drinker too. But today I actually created a cocktail because it is something that I was craving. I was craving something tropical. So I made a cocktail that I called the Blue Jay cocktail. And it's made with Blue Alizé, which is a passion fruit liqueur. Whoop. And orange juice topped with a little bit of Sprite. It's delicious. It's refreshing. And it's not at all in line with the season we're in. So it's like a little escape. I feel like I'm on vacation at a film festival, perhaps.
I don't want summer to end either. So I'm right with you on that one.
Yes, agreed. Except for the 100 degree days. Those can go. Those can go. I don't like those very much. And so I want to introduce the show by getting to know you, Ross. And I want to play a game with you. If your game, it's called Curious Kitty. And I have little cards in this little, I guess, pot that's shaped like a cat. And I'm going to just ask you a few questions about yourself. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
All right, here we go. The first one, name a food that is filled with air. Can you think of one?
Puff pastry.
Puff pastry, very nice. I was thinking beignet, so we were thinking in the same place. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, if you could time travel, where would you go?
I would go to ancient Greece. I would like to study with the old philosophers.
Ooh, that is a good answer. I agree. I enjoyed philosophy. Greek philosophy was one of my favorite classes in college. So I'm right there with you. This is specifically for you. I think it's perfect because I didn't choose these before, but what movie character inspires you and why?
Wow, that's a tough one, but I guess I would say it would be Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Why is that? Why does she inspire you?
Well, she goes on an adventure. She makes new friends.
Mm-hmm.
She has to, you know, defeat evil along the way. And she does it as part of a team. So all of those things really attract me. And it was my favorite movie growing up as a kid. And I have to go back to her.
I love it. It's a great movie. And you're right. All those odd characters that she comes together with. It's perfect. It's a great story.
There is no place like home.
It's true. It is true. Very much so. The older I get, the more I agree with that. Even when I travel, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go back to my bed.
Very good lesson for
yes,
a life lesson.
It is a very good life lesson that we always learn later in life, usually. All right. How do you feel about rainy days versus sunny days? Which is your preference?
I like sunny days a lot. But you need the rain, too. There's something calming and quieting. And here in Florida, we get these like downpours for a half an hour and then the sun will come out. And that happens almost every day. It seems
yep.
like so. It's always really nice to just sit in my enclosed porch and just while it's raining and listen to the rain and collect my thoughts.
I like that a lot. I grew up in Miami, so I totally hear you about those storms that come and go. As quickly as you grabbed your umbrella, they're gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not even worth it. All right, last one. What is your favorite dish at a Mexican restaurant?
I love chicken mole.
Me too.
I love the chocolate flavored sauce with the chicken. And it's interesting because it's not always flavored the same wherever you go.
Yeah.
So you get to try like different nuances of that particular flavor. So that's usually what I order.
I love it. It's so true. You can order a chicken mole anywhere and it might not taste like the last one you had because it's everybody's own very complex recipe. I hear there's like tons of spices that go in there.
Yeah.
It's a very long
mole
process.
Mole sauce is not easy to make.
Not at all. Yes. I don't know that I'll ever try because I can get it. So I live in El Paso now and I can get such good mole here. I don't think I need to go try to make it myself. Thank goodness.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I wanted to know you. I know you're a film producer now, but have you always been in the film industry or has your professional career taken you elsewhere?
Oh, no. Well, I was a very bright kid when I was young and almost everyone told me, you should become a doctor. And I was, okay.
So you were a physician?
Yes. And actually, I'm basically retired from doing patient care now, but I did it for 38 years. I worked in infectious diseases. I took care of Ooh. A lot of people with HIV and AIDS in my lifetime, over a couple thousand. And so, yeah, I felt like it was time for the younger generation to step in. And also, it's not the same problem that it was years ago.
Thank goodness. Yes, you saw probably the worst of the AIDS epidemic.
I absolutely did. And I think, you know, one of the lessons that it taught me is that life is short and that you never know when your number's going to be called. And so you have to cram in as much joy as you can and just doing things that make you happy. And that's what I decided to do.
That is amazing. That is such a good message. It's so true. We always put off things for tomorrow and tomorrow is not guaranteed. So tell me about your upbringing with 13 cats and how those cats inspired your movie, Chris the Cat.
Well, when someone brought in a stray cat, my mother could not say no. So gradually and slowly, we started with a huge tabby, our first cat. Her name was Jenny, and she was like 35 pounds. She was huge. And then other cats just, luckily she was older, she was kind of mellow. And then other cats just followed. And before you know it, we had seven cats. And the last two, she didn't get to the vet in time to have them spayed. So, so very quickly, seven went to 13. And we kept them all. We kept every kitten. They were all healthy. We named them all, of course. I can't remember all their names, but we named them all. And my parents had a king-size bed, and the cats slept with them in the bed, 12 of them. One of them, Sissy, she was a scaredy one. She slept underneath the bed. But all the other cats slept on that bed with my parents. My father was a saint. I don't know how he did it. But it was always fun to walk into their bedroom as a kid and see all these cats on the bed. It was just great.
So have you always been a cat lover since then?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you get to watch the coolness of cats. Like, I loved watching the fact that cats solve problems. Like, they'll study a situation, take in all the factors, everything with all of their senses, right? And then they make a decision and they do something. So I always admired that about cats, both their bravery and their curiosity and intelligence.
They really are such smart, smart animals. I have a cat that just recently joined our family and almost a year ago, I guess, closing in on it here in February. And he recently learned how to go outside the doggy door and come right back in without us noticing. And the only reason we noticed is because luckily we only let him out in the patio where the doggy door is when we're having dinner, just so he doesn't like beg for food or jump on the table. And we heard the flap and we thought it was the dog, but we looked down and there's the dog. And so the cat's coming right back inside from the yard where he's not allowed to be. And he just like was like, oh, she gets to do it, I get to do it too. And now he's coming back in. Thank goodness he came back in. He didn't go on an adventure like Dorothy, but cats are just so fun. They're so different than dogs. And I actually feel for the people who are like, I only like dogs, because they're missing out on such an amazing creature in cats.
I feel the same way. And I feel that cats have a lot to teach us. And for that reason, that's one of the reasons why I was so interested in creating a film about starring a cat in the leading role.
Okay, so tell us about Chris the Cat. What inspired the movie? What inspired the name? Just kind of give us a little bit of a rundown of the background here.
So the background is, before the pandemic hit, there was an Icelandic festival that was occurring in California. I think it was in Sacramento. And they put out a call for Icelandic stories. And I love a challenge like that. And so I did some research on Icelandic folktales, and I came across a folktale of a king who was having a rat or a mice problem in his castle, but didn't know what to do. And a commoner stepped forward and brought a cat. So the king said, thank you so much, after the cat solved his mice problem. And he said to them, well, I'll either give you a nice big parcel of land or you can marry my daughter. And the commoner said, I'll marry your daughter. And of course, he becomes king later. So,
wow.
So it's really a story about never settling for second best and kind of Scandinavian practicality. But I was thinking, after I read that story, well, what happened to the cat? And that's what the inspiration was for Chris the Cat. So I wrote it as a short story originally, sent it in, and then the pandemic canceled the festival.
Oh, no.
So nothing ever happened with that submission. But I had this story on my hands, and I had written another story that I had shared, you know, on social media. And one of my friends, who's a playwright, but also a screenwriter, said, you need to make an animated film of your story. But I was like, oh, that's too long. It's going to be too Herculean a task. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? Chris the Cat would be a perfect, nice, short little film. It would be doable. and it would be my first time, my first foray into making film of any kind. So why don't I try that? And I gave myself the challenge to create an animated film. And of course, I grew up watching Bugs Bunny and, you know, Elmer Fudd and all of Looney Tunes. And so, you know, it had to be just a two-dimensional kind of traditional style cartoon. That's what I wanted.
Amazing. Well, I want to dig into all the ways that you had to be involved in the actual making of the film and break down what the plot is. But don't go anywhere. We're going to listen to our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about Chris the Cat, the movie inspired by that Icelandic folktale. Don't go anywhere.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I am having a wonderful chat with author and film producer Ross Hewitt, who is the creator of a movie, a short film, called Chris the Cat. And I, Ross, would like to invite you to play a second game with me, but this one is actually inspired by my education. It's called Chris the Cat Cliff's Notes. So I'm going to give you 1 minute on the clock. Where's my handy dandy clock? Right here. And I'm going to ask you to give us a very quick Cliff's Notes about the plot of Chris the Cat. Are you ready to play?
I sure am.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Chris the Cat is the Queen's cat who lives in a castle in southern Iceland. He gets lost in the woods after chasing a mouse and then has to find his way home. Eventually, he meets a little girl who takes him in, and the little girl also has another cat who Chris gets attached to. But then the Queen's head of household comes and says, "Chris, you have to come back to the castle. We need you." And the little girl was very upset, but the Queen's head of household said, "I'm going to give you one of their kittens." And that is exactly what happened.
Ooh, okay. You have 10 seconds left. Is it a happy movie, happy ending, sad ending? Are we going to cry?
No, most people think it's very sweet. It's got funny moments. It's definitely happy. I think if you put yourself in the little girl's shoes, you might get a little, you know, sad for a minute. But in the end, she not only ends up with one kitten, she ends up with two.
Perfect. Amazing. I love that. Thank you so much for that Cliff's Notes. I am a big fan of kids specific, you know, films and books that are created for kids that teach them about relationships and about pets. So did you go into it creating for children?
Yes, absolutely. And it was something that I had never done. I don't work with children in any particular professional capacity. So I don't have any of my own. So that was a real learning curve for me. And in converting the short story to an actual script where actors are speaking dialogue, we had to really focus on that and focus on what words would be acceptable and generally understandable. Even if you don't know the word itself, you'd understand the context of the word from the situation. And so a lot of time and effort was put into that part of the process.
Did you adapt it from the short story to, I guess it's a screenplay?
So that's what happened. I'm part of a creative writing group, and they were extremely helpful because I would bounce the script off of them every couple of weeks, get their feedback, and see what suggestions they had, knowing the effect and the audience that I wanted to go for. And yeah, that whole process took about 3 months or so. And so,
wow.
Next thing you know, I had a screenplay, and it was time to cast the movie and get actors into a recording studio.
How did you do that? How did you go about casting your characters? And it's really their voices that you had to focus
yes.
on.
And so I had worked with a director in a theater company in New York, and I asked her to be involved in the project, and she had never done a film either. So, but she said, sure, why not? And so she brought in people that she knew. I brought in people that I knew. We auditioned people. And next thing you know, we had our cast. And even though the cats meow and make other animal noises, those noises were also done by human beings. So it wasn't just sound effects or canned effects like that. We wanted to give emotion to how the cats may be feeling, and the human voices accomplished that beautifully.
That is so cool. So what came first, animation or voices?
Voices came first. The script came first, then the voices. I mean, I was looking for an animator at the same time. I thought I had one, but then he backed out of the project.
Uh-oh.
And I had to find another one. But you know what? That was a happy accident, because the person I did get was fantastic. And it took him a year to draw the movie, because he drew it on his computer by hand. But he drew the entire 13 and a half minutes himself, including 80 different backgrounds, and just amazing. Plus the character designs, the animation to get them to move. All of that stuff was just great.
Did you always have an image of what it was going to look like? Or did you kind of give your animator free rein on that?
Well, I wanted it to be 2D animation. And I described Chris as a gray tabby with black and brown stripes, a la Jenny, my original cat.
Aww.
And so I asked animators to give me a rough sketch of their idea. And then I picked the one that I liked the most. And that's the one I went with to animate the film.
So how long was the undertaking from when you decided to turn this into a film to having the ability to watch your film in full?
Well, the whole process took almost 3 years to
wow.
complete, because it got started before the pandemic. Then the pandemic hit. We had to deal with that. And yeah, there are always challenges. COVID
yes.
surprised us on more than one occasion, but we were able to just complete the work, get it done, and then start submitting it to film festivals.
And so how's it going in the film festival circuit?
It's been going great. It's been shown internationally, predominantly in English-speaking countries right now, because it's in the English language. There's no other translations right now, but that is something that we are seriously considering. It's been in, I would say, 10 or 12 different festivals so far, many in the United States, and it's just been a blast. I haven't attended every single one, but I've attended a number of them. And just to sit in the audience and watch kids and families enjoy the film, that worth all the time and effort.
Amazing. That is so great. And what have your friends said, the ones that were part of the project? It sounds like you're surrounded by a lot of creatives. What was their feedback?
Oh, they just loved it. Everyone has loved it. They think it's sweet. It has a good story, positive messaging, engaging. The time goes by very quickly. And I think it's a well-told story. So I'm very proud of it.
That's amazing. You have so much to be proud of. I mean, 3 years, a pandemic, this wasn't your main career. This is really inspiring that you felt like you wanted to do this and you grabbed the bull by the horn, so to speak, and just made this happen, which is not an easy undertaking under the most perfect or ideal circumstances. So bravo.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. All of the creatives who helped me. We had original music composed for the film that was just gorgeous.
Wow.
Our sound designer and sound editor did an amazing job. All the extra little sounds that go into a kid's film is just amazing. You know, you kind of
wow.
picture it in your head, but you don't necessarily write it down on a piece of paper. And she just, I trusted her judgment, and she just brought so much to the table. Like the difference between watching a silent movie and watching a movie with dialogue
right.
and music and sound, it's astronomical. And and then Amy, my director, always there to tweak it, to fine tune it, to really hone the story. She just did a fantastic job for her first film. And I know she's very proud of it as well.
That's amazing. So will we see you nominated for any awards, perhaps?
Well, I don't think Oscar awards, which would be wonderful.
Why not?
But,
why not?
The film has won a couple of different awards from various film festivals. It's been given a Outstanding Achievement Award in Children's Short. It's been given a Best Family Short Film by the San Diego International Kids Film Festival. And it's been nominated for other things too. So very, very happy with the reception of the film. And I have one exciting thing that I haven't shared with anyone yet. And that is the film is going to be part of a online streamed film for the children of Ukraine.
Oh, wow. And when is that going to happen?
That's going to be November 18th.
Amazing. Congratulations.
So thank you. I'm very, very excited about that.
That is wonderful. Please let me know how we can support that and any other thing that you get involved with to support groups like the Children of Ukraine. So tell us, how can my audience watch the movie?
Well, you just go to the website and it's christhecat.net, Chris with a K, all one word. And if you scroll down, you can watch the trailer and you'll find links to viewing options there.
Perfect. I can't wait to watch it with my kids. I have a 3.5-year-old and a 6-year-old. I think it'll be right up their alley and I will be watching it ASAP. I promise.
Okay. Please let me know what you thought of it.
I absolutely will. I would love to review it once I watch it, because I'm sure I've already watched the trailer and it's absolutely darling. I love the animation that you went for. Like you said, the music is spectacular. And what I think it's really interesting after speaking with you is that I'll see all the layers that went in. Now knowing more about the film, it always gives it a little extra special, I guess, viewer experience when you know a little bit about how it came to be, right?
My narrator was fantastic. And a 30-something, I can't say her age, woman played the little girl. And when we were doing the recording, Amy kept asking her, can you make her younger, younger and younger each take? And she did. It was amazing. And I just love how she sounds in the film. It's just amazing. You would never know that wasn't a little girl saying those words.
That is so cool. I love that. I can't wait to watch knowing that specific tidbit. That is so cool. I want to propose a toast to you to thank you for sharing your story with the world of Chris the Cat, but also your story with me and my audience. So cheers. Thanks to you.
Cheers.
I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. And to our audience for joining us for these awesome conversations. Here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers. To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.